And so I decided I was going to go on past the first one, which was the Sermon on the Mount. So tonight, we get to do a portion of the Sermon on the Mount. If you turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, keep in mind, the Sermon on the Mount goes in Matthew for three chapters. In Luke, the other place that it is, it just shows it as a partial portion of that chapter. We're not covering three chapters tonight. In fact, we're going to cover only a few verses. That's what a preacher does, isn't it? They just get Pastor Chuck, what did he get through? He did an introduction this morning, get through verse 3, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah, we're going to do something real similar tonight. So we're going to open up to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to talk about taking our vitamins. Taking our vitamins. Vitamin B. Vitamin B is a vitamin that kind of works in our bodies. And not necessarily because we have a physical problem. We take our vitamins to make it so our bodies can fight the diseases or just get along with life as it comes about. So we take our vitamins. They're separate from medication. I like that. I don't like medication. And so we take our vitamins. I used to have several bottles of vitamins I took. And I thought, nah, I don't think so. I would just want my B vitamin. So I've got my B vitamin there I take. And, of course, my mom and dad, taking lots of vitamins, they say, you really ought to take some of these others. But I take my B vitamin, you see. Tonight we're going to talk about our B vitamin, because that's my favorite, the B vitamin. As we look at the vitamin B attitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and for the opportunity to be in your house. And we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that we can study your Word and look at all these things and glean from it the things that you have for us. And I just pray that you open our eyes and our hearts to understanding your Word. We ask it in Christ's precious name. Amen. By the way, we did have Aura Lee playing the piano this morning. Her daughter is back in town again. If you know anything about Aura Lee, her daughter was fighting cancer. And towards the end of all her treatments, it had shrunk to microscopic and disappeared totally. So the visit, believe it's tomorrow, is specifically to confirm that it's gone. Isn't that awesome? That's what we like to hear. That's what we like to hear. And she was planning on being here. I saw a text as I was shutting my phone down so Jim couldn't text me in the middle of service. Shutting my phone down, I saw that she'd text. So I had turned that silly thing back on. This is not easy for me. Not like it is Jim. He's got a handle on this kind of stuff. So I turned it back on to see what she said. I was pretty sure she wasn't going to make it tonight. So she's got some family issues, and so she couldn't make it tonight. She was wanting to be here. I did tease her this morning, and I got to pick my company when I do that because Jam came up here, and we were all talking when I did this. I did from pulpit, you know. I said that she plays all over this piano, which for me would take about six hands. I said that's the reason I got Charlie up there for some of those extra hands. And so I went and talked to her afterwards, and she said, Lyle, I've told you, all you have to do is practice those scales, and you just go up and up, and you could even skip and do this number. And Jam looked at me, she says, well, that's what Lyle told me to do. But does Lyle do it? So, hey, we're going to see that very same thing in the Scripture tonight, but do I do it? Let's look at it. Verse 1 in chapter 5 of Matthew. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain to pray. A mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed be poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which persecute, which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. I want to look at something here. Each one of these vitamin B's that we're going to take tonight, each one of these that we're going to look at, we're going to see that these vitamin B's are a little bit hard to swallow. They're not real hard to understand. You know, a lot of times what God does in Scripture, He takes something that is physical and draws us a spiritual picture. He takes something we can understand to show us something spiritual we can't see. We wouldn't understand except that we can see it in the physical. One of those things, He gives body parts to God. Does God have body parts? No. And if you ever have read some of the blog things that Pastor Goss put on the blog, he mentions that God doesn't have hands, but it talks about God's right hand of righteousness. He doesn't have eyes, but His eyes are roaming throughout the world, are on every one of us. So it gives body parts because that's what you and I can understand. Let me reverse that. You know what God did for you and me? One day when we get to heaven, we're going to see the Word of God, the Son of God, physically with all His body parts and with the nail prints in His hands. Always as a reminder of what He did for us. So God actually, in the form of the Word of God, His Son became flesh for us. So we're going to look at vitamin B attitudes tonight. We're going to look at this first one. I believe the sermon here is to reform our thinking and our attitude. Because if you remember the story, and we're going to come to this, the event where Jesus appoints 70 disciples, sent them out to preach into all the cities where He was going to go on His way back to Jerusalem. And He said in there, I'm sending you forth. But here's the thing. You're not going to need your money pouch. Don't need that. You're not going to need a suitcase. You're not going to need that. Not going to need your shoes, Charlie. He says, I want you to go. And when you go and you go into a house, first say, peace be to this house. So what He is saying is, you've got a message to the world that's totally different that the world can't understand. You don't need all the stuff to do it. So let's look at our B attitudes here. I saw some eyes out there that told me I'd never find this again, so I thought I'd better find this before I forgot it. First one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed is a good thing. Poor in spirit doesn't sound right. Does that sound odd to anybody here? Let's go look, and you're going to be flipping back between these two portions. So let's look at Luke's and see what he has to say. Luke chapter 6. So it'll be Luke chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 5. So be ready to go back and forth between the two of those. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. And He lifted up His eyes on His disciples and said, blessed are ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Okay? So now He's saying it's good if you don't have nothing. If you're poor. Neither one of these are saying anything of the sort. Remember the word blessed. Remember the tail end of that, what it says. So let's look at this. Does God want us to be spiritually poor? No. That's contrary to God's heart. So in Luke, does he want us to be poor in this life? No. Has nothing to do with it. Of course, you hear these some of these preachers say, God expects you to be rich. You just got to go out and get it. No, not so. Doesn't have anything to do with our wealth. Doesn't have anything to do with our poor spirit. So let's look and see what it says. Both of them are saying the same thing. Remember, one of them is showing the physical part, the other in the spiritual part. They're both talking about the same thing. If we were poor in the flesh, what would we have? Basically, not much. Those who are poor in this world in the flesh, a lot of times they'll say, I'm rich. Look at what I've got. Because they're not looking at what they haven't got. They're looking at what they've got that God gave them when they're doing this, when they're going through this. So, so when we're poor in the flesh, we're lacking something. When we're poor in the spirit, it's not that we're lacking the spiritual, the spirit in our bodies, in us, working through us. It has nothing to do with that. But both of them are saying the same thing. We don't depend on our riches. We don't depend on our assurances to get us through. That's the physical part. So how does that blend into the spiritual part? I want to look at the ending of both of those. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. For yours is the kingdom of God. There's the two. If we were to inherit a kingdom, do the paupers inherit the kingdoms? Who inherits the kingdom? Is it the ones who don't even try in life, the poor in spirit thing, that just kind of go through life and don't even care attitudes? Is it that type of person that inherits a kingdom? Who inherits the kingdom? The child, the son, inherits the kingdom. The scripture has said that to come to Christ, to come to God, we need to be kind of like a camel. To camel going through the eye of a needle, the eye of a needle is a small doorway coming into Jerusalem, very small. For a camel to do that, he's got to get down on his knees to get down through. He can't walk through it. For us to get to glory, we've got to have the humble spirit to where it's not me getting there. It's not my thing that I do. It's not the stuff that I do. It's not the riches that I have. Now, that phrase, he who has most toys when he dies wins. No, has nothing to do with it. He who has most toys when he dies loses most because it's not going with us. How do we become the son of God to inherit the kingdom? We accept Christ. Say it again. We become as a little child in our attitude and we come to Christ. He's the only door to glory. He's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Blessed are the poor in spirit. There's nothing you and I can do to get there. We get there because God gives us the opportunity to be there. That's a blessing. Let's look at the next B attitude, vitamin B attitude, from Matthew chapter 5. We're going in the order of Matthew chapter 5. Luke doesn't follow all those in the same order and doesn't have all of them in there. So verse 4, it says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If we flip right over to Luke, it says, blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they you that weep now, for you shall laugh. When we think of mourners, we think of someone who has passed away. We think of a situation where somebody's lost a family member or something close to them. It hurts. It really hurts. We can feel it. Blessed? are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Pastor Chuck is going to Iowa, and he hopes to be a comfort to the family. But the one who passed away said, Chuck, I've got four wayward sons. And when I'm gone and I'm asking you to preach a funeral, I would love for you to talk to them about their salvation. Wow. Blessed are ye that mourn, for ye shall be comforted. We understand that. That's a physical part of it, right? We can understand that. Is there anybody here who has not lost a loved one? No, we've all lost loved ones because going all down through time, they pass away as new ones come on the scene. We've all lost loved ones somewhere along the way. Blessed are you that mourn, for you shall be comforted. But in Luke, it says something different. Blessed are you that weep, for you shall laugh. Now that doesn't make any sense at all. If we're mourning because we've lost a loved one, how can we laugh? I understand that, you know, we get together and we are comforted, literally comforted, and we can talk to each one who has come. That's some of them we haven't seen for a long time about the blessings that God has given them along the way and different things. But laugh? Really? Laugh? I want you to see what he's talking about here. Look at the spiritual part of this, not just the physical. It says, for they shall be comforted, for they shall laugh. There's another name for laugh. We're not going to get to that just yet. If we were to go to the event where it's coming to the end of Jesus' life and he calls his disciples, says, we're going to go into Jerusalem. We're going to set up for the Feast of the Passover. See, I got my preacher boys out there. Feast of the Passover. And when they met, they had their feast, and we're going to experience that tonight. Not the feast part of it, the portions of the parts there that he went through with his disciples. When he was all done, he talked to them about this very thing. He said, I'm going to be turned over to the authorities and be killed. And one of you sitting here with me is the one that's going to turn me over to the authorities. They didn't understand that. Later on, he said to Peter, 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 Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you're comforted, when you are converted, strengthen thy brother. What's he talking about? In this scripture, to be comforted and to is to go on past the event. We do that in life, don't we? We're comforted from the death, from the burial, even from the closure we get to have with our relatives. And we go on in life. Still has a hole in our hearts for someone missing. But we go on in life. He says, what I want you to do, blessed are you that are weeping now, are mourning now. For one day you're going to rejoice. That's a different word, isn't it? You see, you rejoice over what? Pastor Chuck was saying his cousin that passed away, he says, one day I'm going to get to see my grandpa. He's been on dialysis for 10 years, and he says, Brother Chuck, I'm going to tell him to stop that. I'm not going to do the dialysis anymore, so you're going to get a call. And I really want you to do my funeral, but I'm going to go see Grandpa. And Chuck mentioned this morning that he was gloriously saved. He knows exactly where he's going to be. We're going to be comforted. We're going to be able to go on through that. But a lot of what our comfort is, what a lot of our pain is something we can use on down the line. God's going to bring others across our paths into our lives that maybe are going through the same things, and we can share what God did for us and help them through that same thing. Show them, as Pastor Chuck's going to do, that beyond this is a life with Christ, is a life in glory. We shall rejoice. blessed. Rejoice. Take your vitamin B's, that one of these days we're going to rejoice when we see Christ. Let's go to the third one real quick. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. The meek. I like this one. I was real meek in school. I was one of those down and outs. I was the uncoordinated. I was the person who just couldn't do a whole lot of stuff in school, and I just kind of got through. I didn't really have a voice of authority in anything. I could run. I could play the trumpet. Trumpet shut my mouth up, so I didn't get in trouble that way. Running, there was nobody to talk to. If somebody was that close, one of us needed to speed up. And so, you know, I was the meek one. Is that what he's talking about, the down and out? Is he talking about the one who is a loser in life, doesn't care? No, he says blessed. Don't forget the vitamin B part of this. Blessed are the meek. What's he talking about? Let's see what Luke says. No, Luke doesn't have that one. Sorry about that. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I want you to see something here. The meek are not the wimpy. They're not the losers. I always think, every time I hear this, the meek, a meek person, I always think of Clark Kent. Anybody ever watch Superman? And even in the movie, they kept Clark Kent. I guess they had to, didn't they? Why? Clark Kent was a loser. He was the mild-mannered reporter. I remember when they come on and they give the introductions and they get into the show every single week, the Superman, and say, they introduce us to Clark Kent, the mild-mannered reporter. I think of that every time I see this. Every time I read this, I think of Clark Kent. However, they portrayed him as a loser. They did. So we'll just let that go for a second. The mild-mannered reporter. I like mild-mannered instead of meek. It's the same thing. It's a person who is kind of an even-keel temperament. It's a person who can go through the trials of this life, keep his head straight. A type of person, when something new is coming down the pike, introduced, he can think through his situations and say, I'm not sure about this. Or he can say, you know, this is a go. This is a good thing. Because he's a mild-mannered, he's an even-keel type person. And the end of this verse, it says, for they shall inherit the earth. Have you ever thought of a Clark Kent inheriting the earth? But who do they go to? At your work? In your family? Who do they go to? If they've got the problems in life, if there's real pressures in life that's coming down on them, they'll go to someone who's mild-mannered, even keel. And hopefully a lot of times that's either mom or dad or grandpa and grandma. Tim and Wendy, my oldest son and daughter-in-law, they are so close to my folks. They think the world of them. My dad can say anything to Tim, and he's yep, I understand. He listens. Because he's going to a person not of authority. He's going to a person who's been through it. He's going to a person who, through all the stuff he's gone through, he's an even-keel type temperament. And that's the type of thing that the world comes to. And Jesus is saying here, blessed is that type of person who can keep it all together. Blessed is the type of person when the fires of all the stuff around you are coming at you, can keep a level head, sort through my options, make a wise decision. That's the person that's going to inherit the earth. Let's take our vitamin B attitudes tonight. Let's check those, and let's move to one more. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's see what Luke says. It's in that second verse, verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Luke looks at just the physical. If I get hungry, I'm going to be filled. Has anybody ever been hungry? I can guarantee you everybody's been hungry one time or another. And you choose, has anybody missed a meal because of it? Yeah, some of us have missed a meal because of it. And our stomach aches and says, why did I choose to do that? Sometimes we're out on the road traveling long distance and we just pass the McDonald's exit, right? And the sign says 20 miles to the next one. I should have stopped. I'm hungry. So we've all been there one time or another. Oh, the McDonald's exit. Have you ever wondered why the feeding of 5,000, why the feeding of 4,000? Where were these people? They followed Jesus as he taught, and they kept following Jesus as they taught. They weren't concerned with the McDonald's or the KFC or the restaurant or the evening plans or anything. They just kept following Jesus as he taught, kept following Jesus as he taught. Because the disciple says, do you realize what it is to get into town to get something to eat? Lord, you need to send these people away. So Jesus did the same thing. He looked at the physical. He says, tell them to sit down. We'll feed them. But it was to teach them a spiritual. He said, let's take care of the body. Let's take care of their need. Jesus is no dummy. He knew where they were out there where there is no restaurants, no place to eat. They couldn't get to their homes quickly. And he knew there was a mob of people, 4,000 at one time, 5,000 another time. So he took a child's lunch and fed them with what he had. To show them the spiritual, they took up 12 basketfuls at the end to show his disciples, we don't have to worry about the physical. I want you to see the spiritual. What is the spiritual there? Did you catch that in Matthew? Blessed are ye that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. When Jesus was in the wilderness, in the wilderness, 40 days. You know, the Bible says right after his baptism, he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, that's what took place. But he didn't go into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I don't believe that. I believe he went into the wilderness to get close to Dad. He went into the wilderness to pray to his Father. He was just starting his ministry. What a better way to start your ministry than to fast and pray and come close to the Father. Of course he was tempted. So after 40 days, see, that's the reason I know he went in there to talk to his Father, not to be tempted, because Satan put it off for 40 days. I don't believe God allowed Satan to have an opportunity until the time with his son was all done. You know what? And so what did Satan come to him with? The very first thing. If I look in Matthew, it's different than the time in Luke. They got them all out of order. Both of them start the same place. You're hungry. You're hungry, aren't you? Why don't you take these stones and turn them into bread, Jesus? What was Jesus doing for 40 days? He was feasting on the Word of God. He was feasting. He was talking to his Father. What came out of his mouth? He says, you know, I would rather feast on the Word of God, every word that comes out of God's mouth. He might have been hungry physically, but spiritually, he was full. Blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness. I think of one more movie as we close. And that's Johnny 5. Has anybody ever seen Johnny 5? The five robots that were made. These robots were made, and they had all the weaponry and everything on them. They could go out to war, and no people were ever going to get shot. And they could fire at everything and blow it all up and all this stuff. The problem is, when these five were unplugged to take them out for the demonstration, one got left behind. He was still plugged in when a storm came along, and he was electrocuted. And so it was as though all of his circuits and everything were just totally melted, just totally ruined. So this Johnny, this number five, was ruined. They were just going to get rid of him. and he came to life and wandered out on his own. And he met up with this one young lady, and the whole time he was with her, he said something to the effect, Johnny Five is alive. Input. Need input. And Johnny Five would go through books in her library. He'd watch TV all night long because he's a robot. He could do these things. He was reading everything. Input, input. And he'd read another one, throw the book. Read another one, throw the book. And all the time, that's the same thought right here. How much do we really get into the Word of God? How much do we really want to hunger and thirst after righteousness? You know? Are we taking our vitamin B attitudes today? Oh, I hope so. What an opportunity to be able to open the Word of God, which we do today, and to study, to see what God has for us. For instance, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron or the house of Lyle say that His mercy endureth forever. Let him that let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endures forever. That's what I want to hear, Charlie. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. It is better for me to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in the flesh. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in tabernacles of the righteous. And the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is excellent. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Thou art my God, and I will praise Him. Thou art my God, and I will exalt Thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good. For Thy mercy endures forever. What an opportunity to read God's Word and see what He has for us and rejoice, because He is the God of salvation. Men, if you would come forward.